Almost 10 years ago, I was cast in a musical called Rent and was surrounded by all of these professionals, these experts in their own fields, musicians, actors, costume designers, singers, lighting and sound techs, dancers, hair and makeup artists, and all of those other folks who might be running behind the scenes to make it all happen. All of them were professionals. All of them had been gifted with these talents, and they all had spent so much time exercising and strengthening those gifts. They were just so self-aware that the confidence and talent was just overwhelming that I will never forget that moment. We created this beautiful piece of art together because we got to share our gifts with one another on stage. Because we got to share our gifts for the audience's enjoyment. And isn't that just the type of folks and people that we are trying and longing to be? People who are self-aware, who are confident, who are secure in who we are, and who are secure in who we are in Jesus. That we get to share our talents, our abilities, and our gifts for those around us. Because we are called to love God, we are also called to love others. We get to support and care for and serve others in all aspects of our lives. And it can sometimes take energy and time, but the product is just that much more beautiful when we get to do it together, when we are unified. And so today, as we are ending our deeper series, I wanted us to explore this idea that our relationship with God is strengthened when we use these different gifts, when He is the gifts that He has given us, and when we use them together. So we'll take a look at two passages today, one from Romans and one from 1 Peter, and that will hopefully help us understand this whole idea better. I'll also be sharing a few more pieces about the story of Rent, so get ready. First from Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. It reads, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. According to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, well, do it cheerfully. And from 1 Peter 4, it reads, each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come here to thank you. One, for how you have created us and for all of the gifts that you have placed within us. May we act in ways that bring joy to you. And may each of us here today be open to receive what it is that you want to offer to us this morning. Amen. As I was saying earlier, we've been on this journey for the past 2 months, going through a series called Deeper, learning what it means to go deeper and to begin to begin to create habits or form rhythms of life that hopefully will allow us to connect with God more deeply. And as I was reflecting on this series over these past few weeks, I realized and recognized that we've spent a good amount of time, and probably an important amount of time, working on our personal relationship with Him, this upward motion. And as we've strengthened this relationship, as we've gone through pieces and moments of healing, things that we need to work on, we're finding ourselves motivated, more secure in Him. And that is moving us towards an outward expression of joy and rest in Him by this act we're going to call serving. And now serving today isn't just an action piece of how do I volunteer. I don't want that to be what we come walk away with today. I think serving is actually a piece of our hearts, of how we choose to express that for those around us. And so as we reflect on these two passages this morning, I hope that we can see how using our different gifts for God both unifies us and ultimately deepens our relationship with Him. And so our first point today is our diverse gifts unify us as we serve together. The Apostle Paul starts our Romans passage in verse 3 by addressing every one of you. Meaning that this information is meant for every person in the church. That if you consider yourself part of the church, even of this church, you are not exempt. And I believe that this is his way of urging us to listen, to lean in, for him to say, pay attention to this, to something that is important. And as he quickly talks about checking our own ego, he starts using this body metaphor. You've most likely heard many talks about many parts and one body in Christ. But what I keep finding fascinating about this metaphor and about this part of the text that Paul addresses is his ability to address how different we all are in a few short words. How different each of our functions are. How we are collectively, even in this room, have a different skill set, have a diverse number of passion points, and different levels of expertise. I mean, let's look around here. We are different. We have professors and teachers, lawyers, public health workers, students, pastors, servers, cooks, bakers, people who help others as best as they can. We have retirees. We have parents, siblings. We have extroverts and introverts. We have those Enneagram 9s and 1s and 3s and 5s. We are people who like a variety of music, a variety of movies, a variety of sports. Some of us thrive in loud, bustling, big crowds, while others, like myself, like small corners with a small group of friends in a quiet space. Some of us, like my parents, love a busy home. They love everyone gathered around at all times, and others don't. There's spaces that we get to hold, and these are just a small few examples of just how we are different. But Paul didn't stay in this solely we are different category. But he brings us to the fact that we are one body. We are united. We are unified by Christ, which sets us on this new path, this refreshed way of thinking. And amidst our differences, we get to think, how are we similar? What bonds us? In Romans, it was characterized by Christ. And for us here, I believe it is still Christ. Paul then continues in verse 6, saying, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Or what I believe is a better way of reading this verse is we use different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. The word have here doesn't do justice to what Paul was trying to emphasize. It doesn't just mean that these gifts are embodied in us, but that God's love, grace, and mercy has chosen us, has chosen to give each of us these gifts. Hopefully so that we use them outwardly to those around us. There's an intended action that isn't just inward growth, but an outward expression of grace, of mercy, of love, of all of this that we have received. We get to act with these gifts for others. So here's a list of the different gifts from the Romans passage that we must use: prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Just as an aside, these are what we call spiritual gifts. Our associate pastor at our evening service, Jeff Hawker, was preaching this here at Kitts on December 29th. So if you're keen to know more or learn more about this, by all means, go to the 10th website and check that out. Looking at this list, did any of you immediately think, oh yeah, that's totally me? Because I did. When I first saw it, I immediately thought, serving, number two, I've got that one. That I can do easily, no problem. I've got that in the bag. And it's true, supporting and caring for others is one of the few things that really give me joy, give me energy, feeds me. And clearly my role here as a pastor is kind of indicative of that, so good job, God. But what I've realized is as I've read this list over and over and over again, it's not just that I have a natural strength in serving, in this one gift. It doesn't exclude me from having to do any of the others. It doesn't mean I don't have to encourage people or show mercy or teach like I am now or do or give in any capacity. It means I have to do those. I have to learn what that means. I have to maybe try harder sometimes, which means the work's going to be harder. The effort is going to actually be something meaningful. I'll probably have to sacrifice something to make it happen. So what are your gifts? What talents or passions has God given you? And if you know that, how do you use them? Do you use them solely for yourself, for this inward relationship, or do you share that with others around you? Going back to my Rent story, I had joined this production as the new kid. Hardly any experience, except for singing, and that alone wasn't going to get me through the very intense 8-hour rehearsals every day for a number of weeks. Was just not going to work. And I was so intimidated by all of the people around me, all of these professionals, that I wanted to hide and close myself all from it. And amidst all of my worries and inabilities, they all welcomed me. They all embraced me. They all encouraged me. And they taught me valuable skills that helped me end up portraying this onstage character. The director brought in some help and taught me how to interpret a script. Some castmates helped me learn my lines and memorize them. Our costume designer spent hours working on my movements so I wasn't so stiff all the time. And a number of other folks on the team showed me how to dance and play drums at the same time. And yes, it can be done with a lot of practice. Rent began to teach me what it looked like for us to have our own individual strengths, our own gifts, but to serve one another, so that we could all be unified to bless our audience for their enjoyment. Honestly, the whole company cared for me by sacrificing their time and energy just so I could be better, so I could feel more safe, so I could feel supported and comfortable. Their persistence and their encouragement supported me. And we began to help one another succeed in our roles, in our tasks, throughout the show and the production. Truthfully, it doesn't matter what gift or strength each of us has, as long as we get to use them and find ways to help others. Whether you're at work, whether you're with friends or with family members, if you're on a sports team, or even in this church community, if we all get to choose to serve one another with the different gifts that God has given us, we can be unified as we get to deepen our relationship with God. So we move to number two. Our unity deepens our relationship with God. And so we'll go back to that 1 Peter 4 passage that we read earlier. The Apostle Peter here also urges that we should all use our gifts to serve each other in whatever form or spiritual gift that God has given us. Once again, we recognize that our every part and every person's talents are important. It doesn't matter how big or small it may be. We all get to serve one another. We all have this opportunity. And when we do it with God's help, or strength, or energy, we ultimately glorify God through Jesus. So what does that exactly mean? Well, I believe that as we continue to grow deeper into our relationship with God, God begins to reveal the gifts, the talents, the strengths, and abilities that he has given us. We can do one of two things through that. We can hold it in, never share it with anybody, or we can release it and opt in to love each other well, to share our gifts with one another. If everyone chose to share their gifts with others, what do you think that would look like? Who do you think that would benefit? Do you think others would enjoy it or like it, or would they kind of shut it out and push it aside and be annoyed by it? It's now opening night for Rent, for our show Rent. And the whole production was running absolutely smoothly. Like every sports team that runs drills so much that it all becomes second nature, that everyone just functions so well together, that was us in this show. Seamless. And it was the first time we had an audience that we got to engage with, where we got to get reactions from and receive energy from. Imagine you all are loving everything that I'm saying right now, that you're engaged and you're listening, that you're laughing and crying and you're smiling and you're thought-provoked. As you get to feel those energies, that begins to feed me as the performer. That invites me to want to give more back. As performers, it's this feedback, this response that drives us. We crave reactions, and we feed off the audience's engagement. This gives us energy to just keep going and to give back more of ourselves to the audience. And by hopefully taking the audience on a journey through the story that we as performers tell, they get to enjoy and be moved by the show. I think this focus on the engagement and ultimately the enjoyment of the audience actually is an important piece for us to understand, for us to grasp, as it helps us understand how when we serve one another, when we sacrifice for and love one another using our gifts, God gets to enjoy it. Because, well, God is our audience of one. Søren Kierkegaard is a 19th century Danish philosopher and theologian. He's considered to be one of the major influences in existentialism and the Protestant theology. And so when he was describing the nature and art of worship, Kierkegaard wrote that all worship is meant to be a drama. He says this, "Worship isn't God's show. God is the audience. God's watching. The congregation, they are the actors in the drama. Worship is their show. And the minister, well, they're just reminding the people of their forgotten lines. Pastors are thought to be the conductors. Annie, Dan, Amy, myself, we're here at 10th Kits, here to help you, to serve you, to remind you of those forgotten lines. The church community, all of us here together, we are the performers, we're the actors, creating this beautiful work of art, serving one another so that the audience can enjoy the show. And God? Well, God is the audience. God is the one who enjoys our art, our serving. God is meant to be the recipient of our worship. Worship isn't about us. It's meant to be for and about God. Personally, I love this metaphor too, this idea, because nearly everything around us is so tailored to us as consumers. So when we think of church, or rather think of most things in life, our innate thought, and mine as well, is how does this benefit me? Or what do I get out of this? It makes us feel like we need to receive something rather than just give something. I often think about what our world, our country, our city would look like and be like if instead of everyone needing to take something, we just kept giving. It was an outpouring all the time. We could find ourselves overworked, overtired, exhausted from all the sacrificing. We'd want to give up. Maybe we never feel fulfilled or filled up. But in order to give, in order to serve someone else, there needs to be a someone else. There needs to be a recipient who can receive what we're giving. There needs to be someone who's welcoming it. So what do you think it would be like for our whole church community if our whole church community continued to just give to one another? If each of us sacrificed in some way, in some small way, big or small, for one another, sharing what we had, spending time, energy, encouraging one another, showing mercy to one another, helping teach or lead in some capacity, refocusing our attention to God somehow. Do you think if we all did that here, our community would be different? And then I think about our neighborhood, outside of these four walls. What would it look like if that was our neighborhood? If each neighbor or stranger was caring and sacrificing for those in the homes beside us, or above us, or below us, or down the street. If each person in our neighborhood welcomed each other into each other's homes and spaces, where we got to share meals, share words, share a piece of who we are and encourage one another easily. Do you think that could maybe break some of the loneliness we feel? Some of the stigmas that we've created? Or the separation that might be in our world? Do you think that might help unify us the way Christ is wanting us to be unified? You see, as we begin to deepen our relationship with Jesus, the questions of what do I get out of this begin to shift into what do I get to do for someone else? What can I do to help or serve someone else? What gift have I been given that I get to share with those around me? We want to be able to serve each other using whatever gift we have been given. And when we do this all together, it stops really being for us and about us. And it gets to be about God. I want to end with this little story of someone from our community. Recently, I got a phone call a couple of weeks ago from someone in our 10th community wanting to get involved and serve at a local meal program. She'd been feeling so uneasy about the fact she didn't have time or energy or the ability to make a commitment to serve. She was down and hard on herself as she was telling me all of these pieces. And she believed that in order for her to serve in some way, it had to be formalized. She had to sign up, she had to schedule herself in, she had to make it legit. But then I asked her, when you go to those meals, how are you engaging? What are you doing when you're there? And she would tell me that she intentionally sits down with the guests. She chooses to have conversations with them. She's encouraging them and laughing with them. She prays for them afterwards. And as they are leaving, she tries to connect them with someone else so they leave having a friend. She's making people feel not so isolated, not so alone. And even when they're feeling like they're unheard, she welcomes them and makes them feel like they are known. And as she's telling me this on the phone, I couldn't help but just smile. I'm like, you've got it. Serving was and is innately built into who she is. God gave her a gift, and when she's able to, she uses it for the benefit of others. And I'm certain God is also smiling at that, at her character, at her nature. Who are you serving? God gets enjoyment from our serving of one another because he is the audience of our worship. And as we are all like the performers, in Kierkegaard's words, it is this love, enjoyment, and energy that drives us, that is reflected back to us. And so we want to give more of ourselves to him, give more of who we are to him, so our relationship with him is deepened and strengthened by this. We've addressed a number of things these past few months about how we can go deeper with God. Things from which we need to find healing, things we need to work on. And it can be easy for each of us to come here every week or listen online, hear the words, and maybe just forget them, and they escape us week after week. Even for myself, I've had to refresh my memory about all of the things that we've talked about and addressed. I've had to realize what are the things and remember what are the things that I need to work on that have been addressed. And so as we're ending the series today, I just want to end with this. Don't let this be the end of the journey. Don't stop figuring out how you can grow deeper with God. Continue to search after him. Continue to work on being open, vulnerable, and honest. Continue to find healing in the areas that you just need to heal. Talk to friends, family, loved ones. Talk to God. Pray to him. Pray with him. Listen. Meditate on scripture. May you continue to be learning what it means to align yourself with God throughout all of this. And as you continue to build new friendships and new relationships and new bonds, see who you are. See who God is amidst them. And finally, serve. Serve one another together in unity. No matter what gift you have been given, whether it is encouragement or teaching or giving or leading, serve others. All of these things are acts of worship to God, to our audience of one. And he is celebrating and enjoying seeing you and all of us grow. So may his enjoyment be what feeds you, what drives you and gives you energy to keep going deeper with him. And I know that it feels like a lot, or it can feel like a lot to do and to start and to take on. But I assure you, like many things in life, as we all work at it, the more we practice or are aware, the more integrated it becomes into who we are. The more embodied and aware of God we get to be. So I hope you keep trying, keep learning, and keep growing. And hey, if you need help, Annie, Amy, Dan, and myself are here for you. That's what we get to be. We get to serve you. We get to care for you. We get to journey alongside with you. And we get to remind you of any forgotten lines, in hopes that we all may grow deeper with God for others. Let me pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Today I pray that we get to see who we are in our serving world and how our life with you is deepened by all of it. Make yourself known to us. Show us how to love the way you have. Show us your love and joy for us. God, give us the energy to continue serving each other for you today. Amen.